In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're going to be looking at the call of three Old Testament prophets. Now, those prophets are Elijah, Elisha, and Amos. We may not get to all of that today, but that's what this Sunday school lesson is about. It's a Sunday school lesson that was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of October the 23rd, 1927. And we're going to begin with a devotional reading from Psalm 40, the 40th Psalm. You may want to turn there and read with us. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at our devotional reading, the 40th Psalm. There's an inscription, or probably should call this a superscription, since it comes at the beginning of the psalm, for the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for Jehovah, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in Jehovah. Blessed is the man that maketh Jehovah his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Jehovah my God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be set in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou hast no delight in. Mine ears thou hast opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required. Then said I, Lo, I am come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, my law, thy law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great assembly. Lo, I will not refrain my lips, O Jehovah. Thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great assembly. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Jehovah. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Jehovah, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Jehovah. Let them be put to shame and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be turned backward and brought to dishonor that delight in my hurt. Let them be desolate by reason of their shame that say unto me, Ah, aha! Let those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, Jehovah be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yea, the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. That is the 40th Psalm. Now, looking at the call of these prophets, I have this little geographical note in this Sunday school lesson about Tekoa. Amos of Tekoa. See, Tekoa was Amos's home. It was a town in the kingdom of Judah, about 12 miles south of Jerusalem, about 6 miles south of Bethlehem. Here's some helps and hints for the teacher. The order of the call of the prophets in this lesson is Isaiah first, Elisha second, and Amos third. The lesson changes this order, for which we see no reason, and still it matters not which we study first. This and the following two lessons furnish fine opportunities for studying the book of Amos. This book is direct and pointed and soon to be read through. Now let's look at Elisha's call. That's where we're going to begin, not with Isaiah, but with Elisha. And the text is 1 Kings 19, verses 19 and 20. So he departed thence, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him, he with the 12th, and Elijah passed over unto him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen, and ran after Elijah, and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back, for what have I done unto thee? As we learned from the last lesson, God sent Elijah from Horeb back to the field of action in the kingdom of Israel, and directed him to anoint Hazael king over Syria, Jehu king over Israel, and Elisha to be prophet in his stead. Elijah always was prompt in obedience to God and returned from Sinai and began the work of anointing Elisha the prophet in his stead, Jehu king over Israel, and Hazael king over Syria. This work was not all done at once, and with Elijah's own hands. He found Elisha plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. There were 12 plows running in the same field. Elisha's father, or Elisha himself, must have been a wealthy farmer. Elisha lived with his father. It is worthy of note that Elisha was at work in the faithful discharge of the duty at hand when called to succeed Elijah. Also that he made a financial sacrifice to become a prophet of God. It is the boy, or young man, who knows how to do well at that which he is at work and is cheerfully doing it, who is called to a greater work. Elijah passed over unto Elisha in the field and cast his mantle upon him. From this, and Elijah's mantle falling upon Elisha when Elijah was taken up, sprang the familiar expression of the mantle of one falling upon another. Elisha understood that this was a call for him to follow Elijah, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee, that is, bid them farewell. Elijah said, Go back, go bid your parents farewell as you desire, for what have I done unto thee? Elijah did not mean by this that what he had done to Elijah signified nothing, but on the contrary, this was an important call which God, not Elijah, had made. And while Elisha could return home for all the necessary preparation, yet he must not forget his obligation in this matter. For remember what I have done to thee. Elisha returned home and celebrated this call with a feast, slaying the oxen with which he had plowed, and roasting, that's in the margin, their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. Then he left home and became a pupil of Elijah. Now let's look at the call of Amos. Amos chapter 7, verses 14 through 15. Then answered Amos and said unto Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And Jehovah took me from following the flock, and Jehovah said unto me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now who was Amos? Why did he prophesy? When and where did he prophesy? His name means burden. It is different from Amoz, the father of Isaiah, Isaiah 1:1, which means strong. The names of Amos's parents are not given. He was a subject of the kingdom of Judah, but was sent to prophesy to the kingdom of Israel. He was a true missionary. He was a herdsman, a dresser of sycamore trees. He kept a sycamore orchard. The sycamore tree is not like our sycamore. It was a fruit tree whose fruit was something like the fig, but sweet and watery and not very valuable. Amos was a humble man who made no pretensions to be a teacher and a leader. He was the author of a familiar saying, "I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son." He meant, as the margin states, that he was not one of the sons of the prophets. He did not belong to any school of the prophets. He'd never attended any of the schools of the prophets with a view of making a prophet. He was a righteous and God-fearing man who studied God's will, loved the truth, and hated iniquity. He was moved by the Spirit of God to prophesy against other nations, and especially against Israel. He said, "The Lord Jehovah hath spoken. Who can but prophesy?" Amos 3 and verse 8. This is similar to Paul's expression, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. This is the true spirit of the preacher of the gospel today. Like Amos, like Paul, such a man cannot be turned from his course in preaching the truth. When Amos prophesied in Bethel the destruction of the king's house by the sword and the downfall of the kingdom, Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, informed the king that Amos had conspired against him, and the land was not able to bear all his words. He also invited Amos to leave the country and return to Judah and prophesy there. He foretold the downfall of Amaziah's family. Amos prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah, king of Judah, and Jeroboam II, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake, Amos 1 and verse 1. The reigns of these kings are given in 2 Kings 14 and 15 and 2 Chronicles 26. The prophet Jonah preceded Amos. Joel is thought to belong to this period. Amos was a brave and heroic prophet. He fearlessly pronounced God's solemn words of condemnation against Israel. He very wisely began by prophesying against other nations, namely Damascus, that would be the Syrians, Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, and Ekron, that's the Philistines, Tyre, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and Judah. This showed that God was just and impartial in his judgments. Now let's look at Isaiah's call. Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, 'Woe is me! I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen Jehovah of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he took with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and said, 'Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is forgiven, is taken away, and thy sin forgiven.'"